Let's embark on a lesson on a servant's heart and service in the church. First, turn in your scriptures, if you would, please. I want to set a context for the lesson this morning. If you'll turn to Philippians chapter 2. We will refer to this scripture throughout the series, but it is upon this that the foundation of a servant's heart really is laid. Philippians chapter 2. I'm just going to read a few of the verses. In fact, I'll ask you to read out loud with me, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 2, we'll start with verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. I'm reading from the New King James. If you have a different particular version in front of you, that's all right as well. Let's just all read out loud together as an act of praise to our God in church, okay? Is it all right to read out loud together? Is it all right to praise God out loud together? Is it all right to enjoy Jesus out loud together?
Yes.
Amen. All right, let's go. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, stop there for just a moment. Now we want to find out, all right, this is the urging of the apostle, the urging of the Lord, that we have a certain mindset, a certain attitude, a certain spirit, a certain proclivity to a direction that was in Jesus. How many in this room want to be just like Jesus? Every hand, every toe should be going up. I want to be just like Him. I want to act like Him. I want to talk like Him. I want to think like Him. I want to walk like Him. I want to be a part of His church. I don't think this is passe. It's not just for 2,000 years ago. But the Church of Jesus Christ on April 3rd, 2005 needs to look like Him more than ever. Amen? The darkness is getting darker. Therefore, the light needs to get lighter. And here we are in a region where there's a lot of darkness. Doesn't matter what community you're from. There's a lot of darkness. People aren't too interested. But praise God, there is an interest in Jesus in this group and in this area and in this region. And so therefore he says, look folks, if you want to bring my kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, I want you to be just like me. Let this mind. What mind is that? Verse 6, we'll read out loud. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he wasn't snatching away anything. He was equal with God. Right? Verse 7, let's see. What mind are we to have in us? Verse 7, let's read out loud together, please. But made himself of no reputation. That's enough right there. We could spend the rest of the morning on that one. But let's go on. Taking the form of a... I'm sorry, what was that? Taking the form of a... What? Taking the form of a CEO. Taking the form of a CFO, Chief Financial Officer. Taking the form of your president.
No.
I'm here today with a heavy heart. I'm here to declare I'm not your president, I'm your king. Wasn't that a joke several years ago? Okay, not many of you remember that. It was Lyndon Johnson, yes. Okay, we'll go on with this. Taking on not those trappings, those wrappings, could he have been? Certainly. He was the one in charge. But he didn't take that upon himself. He made himself of no reputation. Taking the form of a, please say the word out loud with me again, servant. And coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, read out loud with me, please. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Servant, humility, obedience, death. Servant, humility, obedience to the point of death. Dying to yourself. Dying to the triumph you want to have. Dying to the position you want to be seen with. Dying to the reputation, I'm in charge. Dying to that, Jesus said, take this mind. Come down and serve. There's our context. What does it mean to have a servant's heart and to be involved in service in the church? How many of you know a servant's heart and service in the church is a lot more than doing a task at the church? Service in the church is birthed out of the revelation that the church of Jesus Christ is something I'm a part of, and we're a family. And what I do benefits the family of God. What I do is an act of worship to God. Do you know that everything you think, do, and say is to be an act of worship to God? Not just the songs we sing, but the thoughts we think, the attitudes we have, the actions we do. Our whole lives are a fragrance of worship to God. Now, when we do work parties around here about every 6 to 8 weeks, we get together and we have a good time. Anybody ever been here and had a good time? Yeah, we've had a good time. We have a good time. We like this neighborhood to know we got Jesus on the scene. Wow, they have busy beavers over there. They keep doing stuff. You know, I've had neighbors tell me that the place looks better than it's looked in absolute years. There was a lot of things that were put off and put off and put off. And there should be a reflection of the glory of Jesus Christ. When you see a piece of paper and garbage out in the parking lot, whose job is it to pick it up? The pastor's. No. Because we are all... Wait a minute, who said that? Because we're all servants, because we are all Jesus in the earth like Him. We all bend down and pick it up. Do you know those who do pick it up? You know who they are, what they have? You know what they have? It's a little word called ownership and servants' hearts. If you walk by that piece of paper on the ground, you can repent today. I'll give you plenty of opportunity. Y'all think I'm kidding, don't you? No, I'm not. It affects me, it affects you. In other words, you guys, the pride of home ownership is something we talk about in real estate. Here we're talking about a servant's heart of reflection for the glory of God. The pride of home ownership is the joy of being the body of Christ together. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. I'm saying, but what's in our heart? Is it just a place where I attend, or is it the family of God? And therefore, as part of my family, what I do helps Royal. And what Royal helps me. What Carl and Sherry do helps all of us. And what I do, what you do, helps them. And when I think of you and I think of your need, man, I want to come to the house of God and make it shine so there's a great place we get to come and worship together. And a servant's heart isn't just a church, but it's who we are. And it's how we live. It's the quietness of our action every day. Let this mind be in you. What mind is that? Let's learn this morning. Let's go ahead and take a look. What kind of mind is that? From the beginning, man is called man, or God has called man, rather, to tangible service. There's your first fill-in. To tangible service. Then the Lord, Genesis 2, verse 15. Again, you have a full scripture page on all these. But Genesis 2, 15. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden, to tend and keep it. How many like to work? Okay, one hand. That's kind of what I thought. No, I understand those feelings. How many like garden work? I should see Roxanne's hand back there. She's waving at me. Okay, you like garden work. Okay, but the point is God created man with a function to do, a job to do, a heart to serve, and to make what God had made shine with that much better glory. Can you improve on what God's made? No, God created it. You know, that reminds me of the old joke. You know, the farmer somebody was out there praising God for all the fields, and look what God has made, look what He's done. Isn't this glorious? And the old farmer looked at him and said, yeah, you should have seen it before I got a hold of it. Something like that. I don't think I said that right. When God had it all to Himself. That's it. You should have seen it when God had it all to Himself. If you're going to tell a joke, write it down for heaven's sakes. My goodness. Okay, then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. All right, now there's a scholar named Dr. Spyros Zodiadis, and some of you have a particular version of the Bible that he has put out. It's a study text, gives you the Greek and the Hebrew. It's an excellent version of the Bible, by the way. But this is one of the quotes he had said. Man was always meant to work. God intended for him to have something useful to do and enjoy it. Work only became drudgery after the Genesis 3 curse. Isn't that interesting? By the sweat of your brow, the weeds, the turmoil, the, you know, all the stuff, the thorns. in Christ, how many of you realize, though, what happened to the curse? We're redeemed from the curse. We're redeemed from the thorns and the nettles. Doesn't mean we don't have to work with them, but the point is a heart change came when Jesus Christ went to the cross. We don't have to walk around with a full of complete spirit drudgery. Do you know when everybody around you as an employee at work is full of complaint and negative and bitterness, you get to be the one praising God. You get to be the one with a different spirit. You get to be the one confusing everybody. What's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. I'm just thankful for my job. Is it perfect? No, but Jesus is. I'm not trying to be a simpleton here, but I've got reason to praise Him. I get to exercise that on my job every day, too. Thank you, Jesus, for my boss. Oh, that's me. Thank you, Jesus, for this job. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for those I get to work with. When you're tempted to gritch the most is when the most praise should start coming out of your mouth. The best antidote to a complaining spirit is understanding the grace of God and being full of praise. Now, those of you who are retired get to exercise that every day in retirement, right? Yeah. Thank you, God, for the chores I get to do. Thank you for my children that come and visit and want me to pay all the bills. Thank you for the grandchildren. The drudgery is lifted. The curse is lifted. We're redeemed from the curse. Work and service are gifts from God to man, and it is a joy to serve the Lord. Number two, we're not our own, but we are to glorify Him. Glorify is your fill, and glorify Him with our service. He's the one who's given you the strength, the mind, the capability, the gifts to serve Him. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable what? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know? 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Say it with me. I am not my own. Do you understand that? When you surrendered, you transferred over this thing called ownership and took on Him and His life. And He says, let therefore, you surrendered people to Jesus, let this mind be in you. Be a servant. That your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you know how many people we are surrounded with, how many times we are tempted by, but a whole Americana spirit is the do your own thing spirit. I'm going to do my thing, my way, what's right in my eyes. I am a God unto myself. But you know that leads to the devastation of a nation, doesn't it? Come on, church, say amen or oh no. It leads to devastation. I can exercise that spirit myself. And when I do, my life brings forth nettles and thorns and weeds and sin and difficulty and trauma. When I'm surrendered to Jesus, my life gets to bring forth fruit. Who owns you this morning?
Jesus.
Come on, I said, who owns you this morning?
Jesus.
Look at each other and say, God owns you.
God.
You are not your own. God owns you. The world all around us, the next point, is dedicated to serving and gratifying and caring for self. S-E-L-F, self is your fill-in. If you want to be a greater success, spend your time making other people successful. If you try to find your life, the Bible says, what happens? You lose it. If you lose your life and pour out your life in service and in helping other people win and helping other people be a success as you serve them, guess what? You find your joy in life doing that. Whoever will be chief among you, Matthew 20, verse 27, let him be your servant. No one naturally wants to be a servant. You talk about a slave in today's culture, and most people don't even want to talk about it. I understand there was atrocity in slavery. I understand that. No problem. But the Bible's concept of slavery was also just as hard on masters. You better treat them right. But nevertheless, the perspective of slavery was a perspective of a harness, a surrender, an understanding that I'm not my own. There is a biblical concept. But nobody, you know, slavery, that's just menial tasks. And I got to do the job that other people don't want to do. And not very many people today are taught to live for the cause. Remember King David said, is there not a cause? Man, you get me preaching or get somebody preaching like that. Something begins to boil inside and the fire begins to burn. Oh, yes, there's a cause. Oh, wow, praise God. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? Is there not a cause?
Yeah.
You know, World War II was fought by heroic people who believed there was a cause. We had difficulty in Vietnam because not many people believed there was a cause. And we almost lost a nation because of it. When the people of God lose sight of the fact that there is a cause beyond my life, building His kingdom and bringing it on earth as it is in heaven, living for Jesus and surrendering to Him, when I lose sight of that cause, I begin to live for myself. Life is frustrating and full of complaint and full of difficulty. Conflicts happen in the church, backbiting enters in, sorrows and difficulties, because people have stopped understanding that we are surrendered to this Master. And we're supposed to live for Him and live for the benefit of each other. We're here to serve. Can you say amen? We're here to serve. I don't want to do the stuff that other people don't want to do. I mean, life is rooted in pride and greed. Why should I serve? You trying to take advantage of me? Are you trying to just get me to come do your work for you for free around the church? Why don't you hire it done? Let's just take a little illustration here. If we had 20 people who came out for 8 hours once a month on a work party, and that was equivalent to a dollar amount that person might get paid, and you extrapolated that month by month. I'm not even going to throw figures out. But if you began to pay for that every week or every month when that was done, how many of you understand that would take a lot more money than what we have? You understand that? Yeah, sure there's value in your labor. Sure there is. But when you're surrendered, whose labor is it? It's God's labor. When you're surrendered, my life is His. I already understand. Kevin already preached it. My pickup is His. All pickups belong to Jesus. Don't you know that? Especially about once every 4 to 6 weeks around here. They're all surrendered. No. But the whole point is, there sure there's value. But when your life is surrendered to Jesus and you belong to a cause and your heart is yielded and surrendered, and I go, man, I'm a servant to God. I want to come to the house of God. I want to bless the family of God. I want to bless my church. I want to bless God's kingdom. I want to demonstrate to everybody out there that we come and we enjoy it. We have a good time because we're servants together. Then there's something to live for that's beyond myself. Was something to live for. Well, some people say, okay, I'm not going to come and serve, I'll just give my money. You know what? The people that complain like that don't give their money either. You know the people who complain most about any church? You just guarantee you, bar none, about any church across the face of the planet, the people that complain the most about any church usually do not serve and do not give. That shouldn't be an ounce experience for anybody in here. You're all looking at me like, whoa. But usually don't serve and usually don't give. That's honestly the way it is. You know why? You know why they can complain? You know what the Bible says? Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Guess what? If your treasure isn't there, if your heart isn't there, if your service isn't there, if your love and support for the family isn't there, guess what? Easy to complain. How many want to be complainers? How many want to be servants? How many want to enjoy Jesus in the family of God? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Isn't it interesting? Many people put their investments. Okay, let's talk about it honestly. Many people put their investments in things that are important to them. What kind of things might they be this morning? Come on, shout them out. House. You bet. What other kinds of things? What is it? Hobbies. Like what kind of hobbies? Boats. Boats. Boat is spelled. You know how boat's spelled, don't you? M-O-N-E-Y. That spells boat. And the other word that goes along with boat, how you spell it, you look it up in the dictionary. It goes M-O-N-E-Y-R-E-P-A-I-R. R-E-P-A-I-R. Okay, what else? What other kind of hobbies are there?
Skis.
What was the other one?
Cameras.
Cars. Social clubs. Family. Sure, family. Electronics. Fishing. Gardening.
Tools.
Television. Okay. Look, you guys, I'm not preaching at you. I live here too. This is the real world, isn't it? Look, what we are passionate about, we put our money toward. Come on, be honest about it. You can look at me and you can say, and I'm in the same thing. I don't have much money, but what's important to me gets my support. And if what's important to me is my tool, my hobby, my passion, my money goes there. Isn't that true? I'm not preaching on tithing this morning. I already did that. But I'm talking about our time and our service and our passion. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm just trying to be real, you guys. This is real life. I have seen people who don't have hardly anything but cough it up for the thing that's really important to them. Cough it up. Not a real good church phrase, is it? I'm just a real pastor here this morning. All right, cough it up. But you all understand what I mean. For the coffers. But the point is, where your heart is, there your service is also. And where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Guys, I'm not trying to beat anybody up with these illustrations. I live here too. But the point is, what Jesus is after is, let this mind be in you, the heart of a servant. I know people who I could call on in the middle of the night, every night, and maybe about the fifth night they might get a little strange with me, but most of the nights they'd be there. And they're there because their heart is given in service. And maybe I don't have a lot of money, but I can come and I can serve. I know I'm not going to point out everybody in this church that's like this, but I know some people who will serve you at the drop of a hat. It's not based on my money. It's based on my heart. How many want to be a servant this way? You bet. I'm looking at people that look just like Jesus.
Amen.
And so the reason we're going over these lessons is not to, sure, okay, if there's conviction along the way, you let it come. And the only reason God gives conviction is as a gift of grace, so you can change right there and go, wow, Lord, I repent. Ooh, got smarted. I repent of that. Please forgive me. And you get to go on and rejoice after church, not because you're negative, but because you're positive. And then some of you this morning ought to be sitting there going, wow, I'm there all the time serving. And it is my joy. And it is my delight, because I love the house of God. You see what I'm saying? So there's joy, there's change, there's opportunity. But the whole point is, let this mind be in you. And how many of you understand service isn't just something at the church building as well? It's a heart. It's a heart to help. Remember, the context of tithing was all about a love relationship with Jesus. Do you understand that the perspective on servant's heart is also, because I love him, I serve. But if our attitude is somebody else can do it, I'm too busy, that's only simply in a matter of what we value. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Some people, I just want more time, Pastor. I don't have time. I need more time on my hands. But they'll go, and usually the time they have on their hands is not normally spent getting closer to Jesus. It's spent doing something that might get you a little farther away. I'm saying might. Whether it's that TV show or that movie or whatever it might be. Part of the reason we come together in the house of God is to strengthen each other in our walk with the Lord. Even Saturday cruise, man, being out there with each other when we get together, we have a good time together. We work hard together. And it's fun, right?
Yeah.
Smile at me.
Yeah.
Man, we were dipping last time, weren't we? But you know something? There was a real joy in it. And I was closer to Jesus because I was with you. And that's what's happened at our work cruise together. So it's not just work cruise, it's a heart, it's a spirit, it's an attitude. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? The point is this. The actions that you do and the activities that you do, let them be those things that lead you closer to Jesus rather than running farther away. And so as we get together and serve in the church and be servants together, we encourage each other in that closer fellowship with Jesus rather than going and doing our own thing, which many times takes us away. Can you say amen? You understand the point? All right. God demonstrated service and love. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And guess what? We're created in his image. We have his heart, his mind, his likeness in us. And so at that point also, because we're like him, we serve, we give, we love. Jesus is our pattern servant. Let's go on to the next section. If we want to be like Jesus and do the signs and wonders he did, we need to be like Jesus and serve like he did. How many of you understand? A lot of people will step up to the plate and go, I want to do the big stuff that shows the signs and the wonders. I want to do what really looks good. But it's the behind-the-scenes stuff that make the Church of Jesus Christ run. Isn't that true? It's the behind-the-scenes stuff. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of what? No reputation. Taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of men, found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. You're feeling the way up is down. The way up is down. Jesus went down all the way to hell, taking our punishment upon himself, by the way, in service for you and for me. 1 Peter 3:18 and 19, Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Jesus went into Hades, preached to the spirits in prison. Remember where Scripture says he took captivity captive? He took those who were captive to the devil and his will and took them to heaven with him. You understand that, don't you? Nice little doctrinal teaching there. It's true. He took your punishment. That's why when the Scripture says he took all your punishment, it means all your punishment. When you come to Christ Jesus, he took your punishment, your stripes, your sorrows, your sicknesses, and the judgment due you. Are you glad for that?
Yeah.
Say amen.
Yeah.
I'm glad for that. Psalm 16, verse 10, was a messianic psalm. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Acts 2:27, you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You understand the point? Ephesians 4, 8 and 10, therefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. This he ascended, the Bible says, what does it mean, but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. For he who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. Now you can get lost in the garbly gook of those phrases. How many of you enjoy Paul's run-on sentences? Well, the Apostle Paul, he'd go on and on and on and on, 20, 30 verses, and finally you find a period. Of course, you know, they added the punctuation later, but nevertheless, I think Paul was probably kind of a run-on guy anyway. But the whole point was Jesus came and he took on himself the lowest form of a servant. Here he was who by his speaking brought all the worlds into existence. That's what the scripture says. Go to the book of John, chapter 1. He spoke it all into existence. He was in charge, completely in charge. The main man, the boss. And he said, okay, I'm setting it all aside because I so much want all these people to be in relationship with my Father. And he set it aside. That's like if you this morning looked at me and said, Kevin, I have a new calling from God. I'm going to be converted by God into an ant. And I'll see you, if I don't get squashed, I'll see you next week. Less than. Jesus didn't have to become like us. But he was like us, tempted in all points like as we are, the Bible says, yet without sin. So he could understand how to help us through everything. But that, when you examine, how can I help make it clear? When he took on the form of a servant, he humbled himself completely. Can I have an honest response? Anybody in this room ever get defensive? Come on, every hand. Let's go ahead. Put up both hands. Okay, anybody ever get defensive? Of course. Of course we get defensive. Anybody ever get angry at somebody if they accuse you of something wrong? Oh, come on. It's okay. You're in an honest group. Over the web, if you're listening, I just want you all to know, everyone raised their hands. The thousands and thousands who are here in the great congregation raised their hands. I'm sorry. That was not lying. Just have to have a big vision. Anyway, why do we get defensive? Why do we get angry? Pride. We're challenged. It might be we might have been in the victim of abuse. There's a lot of legitimate reasons. Most of the times, because we're proud. I don't like to be accused. I don't like to be put on the defense. I didn't do it. I'm in charge. Form of a servant. The scripture says he didn't answer back. That's a tough one, isn't it? When they came and they were getting ready to slaughter him on the cross of crucifixion, he didn't answer back. He was like a sheep dumb before its shearer. What do you think of that? Is this as difficult for you as it is for me? Man. But there's a servant spirit there. And a servant's heart. That's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about being a servant. The way up is down. All right, Jesus, next. He chose the path of humility. Jesus didn't come and try to convince everybody of how great he was. He chose the path of humility. Matthew 12. He warned them not to make it known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen." All of you, 1 Peter 5, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. Because the Bible says, "For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Romans 12. 3 and 16. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Isaiah 57:15. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Wow. Aren't those powerful scriptures? Grasping for position or your next fill-in or recognition. Grasping for position or recognition will only hinder your growth in Christ. Humble yourself. Mark chapter 9. Anyone desires to be first, he shall be the last of all and servant of all. Proverbs 15:33. Before honor is humility. Proverbs 15:33. John 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must what? Decrease. Next point. His service tangibly demonstrated his surrender to God's will. It was Jesus' free will and personal choice. Your fill-in is the word choice. Luke 22:42. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You ever, when you're just on the verge of conflict, have you ever tuned in long enough to know that one little attitude inside where you know right then you could make a choice? If I say this, it's going to escalate. If I don't, it'll back up. Come on. Have you ever known that? And how's your choice making going? Oh boy, sometimes you do it and it goes every bit as bad as you think it's going to go. Because we didn't choose the pride or the ride of humility, we chose the pride of life. Isn't that the way it goes sometimes? Personal choice. Jesus' service, next villain, proved his love and friendship to us. His service proved his love and friendship to us. Now he calls us to tangibly demonstrate our love by our serving each other. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his who? Folks, are we friends here? We serve one another. We serve people in the same friendship and spirit that Jesus did. Every offering of service out of a true servant's heart fulfills that scripture. Jesus' service proved his confidence and security in your next fill-in, in God's plan for him. Jesus knew who he was because he had communion with his Father. He was secure enough in God's calling that he could lay down his life at God's feet and he could wash other people's feet. You know, remember we've already taught on foot washing, but remember what happened in foot washing? There had just been the struggle over who's the greatest. You can just imagine, are you going to get the better seat or am I going to get the better seat? I'm a better servant than you are. You know, there's a good attitude. That just proves it. I'm a better servant than you are. Anyway, they're struggling back and forth. And you can see there's not a willingness to serve in the room. Jesus was the most secure one in that room full of his disciples. He knew exactly who he was. And yet he humbled himself and said, look, I have nothing to lose. I'm a servant of God. I'm going to serve these disciples. Isn't that how we choose to serve? We lay our life down. I've got nothing to lose. I belong to Jesus. John 13, verses 3 and 5. Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he'd come from God and was going to God, Jesus rose from supper and laid aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Are you secure in God's plan for you? If you are, then service is something that comes easy. Next, we should emulate Jesus, the servant of all. Your feeling is growth. Growth in the kingdom of God begins with natural service. Service should be our way of life. Amen, church? Service should be our way of life. There is, your feeling, no tangible demonstration of your Christianity without practical service. Say that sentence with me, would you please? There is no tangible demonstration of your Christianity without practical service. Jesus served by laying down his life. It's not a question of whether or not you're a Christian. But if you don't serve, how would anyone know you're a Christian? There's fruit that needs to be born from our lives. And by the fruit, we are known. James 2, 15 through 26. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. One of the finest books I've ever read on service is written by Pastor Carl. Pastor Carl's book on the church is a fantastic book, and we should have it in the back of the room on a morning like this morning. I forgot to bring it, but I'll have it here next week. It's a great book to look through on a spirit of service in the church. Your next fill-in, all should serve in God's house. All should serve in God's house. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if anyone will not work, neither shall he. A lot of us are eating. John 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, in God's house, there are many places and opportunities for everybody to serve if we will do them. Jesus can come again and receive us to himself. And we want to consider, just consider your own family. How did your children learn responsibilities, parents? By leading them and teaching them how to serve. And there was this thing called chores. How many of you understand in God's house there are what? Chores. It's nice to just come, but if nobody did any chores around here, you wouldn't see out of those windows after a while. And you'd slip and slide on the papers on the floor after a while. And after a while, it wouldn't be good, would it? So there are chores in the house of God, just like in a family. And we learn and we grow by faithful service, just like our children do. Every member of the family must be involved in service. Every member. There's a job for everybody. Everyone in the church needs to have a, your fill-in is, job. Everyone in the church needs to have a job to do for his or her own sense of value. How many of you realize you feel good about yourself when you have a job to do? Come on, don't you? Feels good to be a part. Feels good to have a job to do. If you're not a productive part of the church, you won't be sensitive to your feeling is here. You won't be sensitive to hear the Spirit and discern spiritual food. You go, wait a minute, wait, what's that saying? what we're saying, what the scripture teaches us, is if you are not one with a servant's heart, you don't want to do anything, and giving and serving and blessing others in the kingdom of God, listen to what the scripture says. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. The people that get no spiritual food out of church, many times, again, I'm back to don't serve and don't give. If you want to get maximum life out of Jesus and church, come, be alive, be contributing, put your heart in, your resource in, your time in. Does that make sense? You're going to get the most spiritual food out of it. Now, guests and visitors are always welcome. But if you're saying, this is my church, this is where I want to be, then God looks for a contributing heart that says, hey, there's going to be life there, and you're a part of that life. Look at each other and say, you're a part of life.
You're a part of life.
Refusal to serve means limited spiritual growth. I've seen it over and over again. A vital key to maximum growth in the kingdom of God is, you fill in, maximum service. In other words, what's the attitude of heart? I want to give. I want to contribute. I want to bless. I want to strengthen. I want to pray for. I want to encourage. You want to do everything you can to build God's kingdom and strengthen God's people. Is that what's in your heart this morning? Come on, say amen with me. Amen. I want to give. I want to contribute. I want to bless. I want to encourage. I want to strengthen. I want the church of Jesus Christ to be as strong as it can be. Somebody who gives the least indeed may go to heaven someday, but you're not going to feel productive in Christianity in this life now. God wants us all to be assets in His kingdom, not liabilities. And that doesn't mean just what you sit on, right? The key is faithfulness. All right, five reasons to serve. Five reasons to serve. The development of a servant's heart in blank, every Christian. In every Christian. Philippians 2, verse 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant. Number two, opportunity to develop closer interpersonal relationships. Interpersonal relationships. How many of you understand you build friendships when we hang out together, working together in church? We really do. It's part of being a family. You know, when we were soaked out there the other day, moving brush, all of us together. We had a great time together. Yeah, we were soaked. Yes, we were wet. But a lot of people were doing a lot of different jobs. You know something? Where never was heard a discouraging word, I don't think I heard one discouraging word all day long. Because, and many of you have been involved at many different times throughout the time. We have a good time when we serve together, don't we? Because there's a sweetness of spirit. We're working for the same goal, to encourage each other, to bless each other, and to strengthen the house of God. Now, thirdly, to recognize and develop leadership potential. Why do we serve? To build a servant's heart, to get closer to other people, to recognize and develop leadership potential. Proverbs 18, verse 16 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. At Door of Grace, our heart and calling is to help develop ministries or servants' hearts for God. To recognize that call and anointing and giftings on individual, one of the neatest things we have the privilege of doing is to watch people in service together. The joy of service, the joy of loving service, the joy of laying our lives down together at different functions, and all of those kinds of attitudes come out when you see them. And you give, you know, how many of you understand if you say yes to a small responsibility, and you do well at that smaller responsibility, God says yes and starts giving you bigger responsibility. You understand that? Prove yourself faithful in that which is least. You get to be faithful in that which is more. Isn't that true? That's what the Bible teaches, isn't it? He is greatest among you. Let him be as the younger. He that is chief, let him be as he that doth serve. Luke 22, verse 26. That of the living, Luke 22, 26, among you, the one who serves you best will be your leader. Matthew 23, verse 11. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Take a listen to the heart of Jesus out of Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. Jesus called to himself, them to himself, and he said, you know that the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. Whosoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Ralph Mahoney is a wonderful man of God in the body of Christ. Many of you may have heard of him. We might have him here sometime in the future, maybe this summer or next year sometime. But he's been used around the world at World Missionary Assistance Plan, World Map. And he said this statement: if a person feels like he's too good to scrub toilets, then he needs to scrub more toilets. What a person sees, when a person sees even the menial task is a glorious opportunity to worship God with my labor, then that person can be used by God to help lead other responsibilities in the house of God. Everybody starts at the beginning. But the spiritual, 1 Corinthians 15:46, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. I've had interesting times throughout years of ministry where I've had people come up to me, make a big point of wanting to be the spiritual number one in the church. They wanted to be up on the platform preaching. And of course, there's not a platform to be up on here, but they wanted to be the lead. They wanted to be out there and leading everybody in spiritual ways. And my urging and encouraging to them was, well, why don't you come on out and serve with us? We're going to have a work crew, or we're going to have a work party. Come on out and serve. You know what I found? 9 times out of 10, those people didn't come back and visit with me again, and they didn't stick around because they didn't want to serve. They wanted to be seen. The people to be wary of are the people that are like that. The people that get in and serve side by side with you and love you and help you. You know what spirit there is in the church and there should be in the church? We want to come outgive one another. Not that we're in competition, but a spirit of, I'm just gonna keep giving, and you're just gonna keep giving, and we're all just gonna keep giving, and you know, sometimes the giving shows, and sometimes it doesn't, but it's a servant's heart, and it builds such a spirit of love and unity. There's no conflict when our spirit with one another is, I want to just keep blessing them. Look at each other and say, I want to outbless you today. It keeps a guard against a position-seeking spirit when somebody's willing to be a servant. You next feel an opportunity to train in both natural and spiritual skills. As we grow as a congregation, and even if we're a small turnout, some of us have gifts in certain areas and some of us have gifts in other areas. I promise you, unless there is a supernatural change and I'm able to study and give myself to a new career, which is not going to happen in this way, I promise you I will not serve as the church's automotive leader. If you want your vehicles to run, I promise you I will not be that for you. I'll just be your king. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. The whole point is there are people in this church who have that gift. And praise God, the gift flows. There are people in the gift with woodworking skills, and the gift flows. There are people in the gift or in the church who have gifts of organization and administration. The body of Christ is a family, and God makes room for those gifts. If our spirit is one of a servant's heart, where I want to give and I want to bless. So there's opportunity to train in natural and spiritual skills. We're talking about the 5 reasons why we do service. But the last reason on your list, there's a blank there. What do you think it might be? To get the job done. That's the last reason. That's important. But how many of you understand there are so many other heart benefits involved in service? Only one of those tasks is to get the job done. The rest are all inside things that happens in your heart because of service. Getting the task done is important, but the way it gets done is crucial. Getting the task done is important, but the way it gets done is crucial. With what attitude should we serve? Number one, with love and goodwill. With love and goodwill, Galatians 5:13, you brethren have been called to liberty. Don't use liberty as an occasion for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Ephesians 6, verse 7, with goodwill doing services to the Lord and not to men. There's a positive attitude. There's a loving attitude. It's not to be seen, but with love and goodwill. How many of you know your next feeling goes like this? God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. If your attitude is, I have to. Ah, they're having that crew at church. And that's negative legalism rather than the joy of the spirit of personal choice. That's not going to result in a servant's heart. The opportunity is to have a good heart attitude and come and help. Come and help and be in the body of Christ. Oh, I was going to tell a joke, but if I don't remember that one, I'll slaughter it as bad as I did the first one. So let's go on. Number two, with faithfulness, because it's our Christian opportunity. And responsibility, it's our duty, it's our responsibility before God. When you have done all those things to which you are commanded, Luke 17, verse 10, say simply, we are unprofitable servants. We've done what was our duty to do. Some people feel, well, I can't, let's just use work parties that we have around here as an example. Well, I can't come the whole time, so I shouldn't come at all. No way. No way. If your heart attitude is, I want to be there, come for as long as you can be there. We come and we give and we support and love one another. If you can't be there the whole time, okay. If you can be and you're just running home to watch the game on TV, then you get to face God on that, okay? But if your heart attitude is one of, I'm there because I want to be there. Man, I want to bless the family. I want to bless my friends. We understand the ebb and flow in people's schedules. I've had times where we set a work crew and somebody said, hey, man, we have a whole other work crew somewhere else scheduled on that. Okay, no problem. It's all right. But if every single work crew I ever schedule, you always have one scheduled first, then come and see me, okay? Anyway, you've been blessed because everybody else has served to bless you. In the family of God, it's your opportunity to serve and bless others. So we bless and bless and keep on blessing. Look at each other again and say, I'm going to outbless you. Now, let me ask you a real honest question. Do you understand service isn't convenient? You understand that, don't you? It's not always convenient. If an attitude strikes you, I'm a little tired today, I don't feel like going. How many of you know it's very biblical? Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross either, but he did. Ooh, ouch. You're looking at me like, ooh, why'd you say that? Service is not convenient. It really isn't, but it's part of being a family of God. You gain a servant's heart by, your feeling is, responding to the opportunities that you had to serve. By the way, service is also a matter of proper priorities. You know, and service, again, it's more than just work parties. That's a context. That's an example we're using this morning. But, you know, service also is a matter of priority choice and priorities. I've watched people say, you know, I can't be there today because I got a ton to do. Now, I messed around on Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night. I mean, I had fun every night this week, but I'm sorry, I've got to serve and do my thing during the service crew. You go, okay, fine. You might consider a different priority of scheduling. It's an attitude of heart, isn't it? I don't know. Look, guys, I'm saying what the Lord puts on my heart to say. I'm talking about a spirit of service. I don't know what's true in your situation. But if enough of these questions, if there is anything that is in your heart, you just face it before God and say, okay, well, Lord, what are you saying to me? It's an opportunity for growth. This is building your faith. And so what we do in church, as we look into the Bible, we look into going, how does this apply to me? Jesus, I want to grow. Come on, you all said it with me. Say it again. I want to grow. I want to be like Jesus. How many want to be just like Jesus? He had choices. We have choices. Our life is a product of choices, isn't it? And so what we're saying is, as a servant, we choose to serve. We choose to serve. Last fill-in in this section, with commitment to practically, tangibly demonstrate your servant's heart. With commitment. James 2. If a brother or sister is naked, verse 15 through 17. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, one of you says, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? You need to be committed to serving with the right kind of spirit. How many of you understand that godly service transforms your mind and your heart and your thinking to be like Jesus? What did we begin with? Let this mind, what? Be in you. All right, the rewards of service. This first one will be interesting to you. The rewards of service. Number one, people might not like you. Now that sounds a little silly. Let me just say this. What will happen is you end up becoming too much like Jesus. That might sound silly too, but it's true. What do you mean you're hanging around church? What do you mean you're serving? What do you mean you're serving other people? Because you find your joy in Jesus and in His family. I go to service and I help serve my friends and I'm there at the drop of a hat for them. How come you're like that? Aren't you living for yourself? No. I'm a Christian. I'm like Jesus. Or I try to be like Him. And so I serve those that need that service. I come to help them because they need it. You know, what if you took more time for yourself? There's bowling, there's cars, there's hobbies, there's parties, and you could make more money if you spent more time. I've had people think that of me. I'm serious. Well, if you were more devoted to real estate, I don't think I have any more hours in the week, by the way, to split my life in which directions I'm going, but I'm 100% Jesus Christ. I'm 100% belonging to Jesus. I want you to get that straight this morning. You understand? I didn't mean to say I'm 100% Jesus Christ. I'm 100% belonging to Jesus, and where I'm not, He chose me. My percentage is out of whack and keeps changing me. 100%, I surrender to the Lord. He's still growing me up to make that a true percentage. But I've had people think of me, if you served more in real estate, you'd make more money. Well, that's okay. My priority still is, first of all, Jesus Christ. He's my provider. He is my priority. If you have an emergency and you call me, I don't look at you usually and say, I'm sorry, I have to go list a home now. That doesn't mean we call and talk all day long when I'm at the office, because I'm working at the office. But if there's an emergency and you need me, that's what we're here for. You understand what I'm trying to say? There are some people who will get upset at you if you try to become too much like Jesus. You know why? It's called conviction. It makes people uncomfortable. Say amen or oh no. You know, when you got real Christians in the real workforce, it makes people uncomfortable. You'll become too much like Jesus and people might not like you. John 15, 19 through 21. If you were of the world would love its own. You think I'm crazy? This is what the scripture says. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Isn't that interesting? And remember the word I said to you, Jesus went on to say, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. The world likes your fruit. People that don't want Jesus will like your fruit of Jesus, but many times will not want anything to do with your Jesus. And if you keep bringing conviction to their life, they won't want much to do with you. Secondly, you will enjoy the presence of Jesus. You'll know you're God's son or daughter. You'll enjoy His presence in a greater way. John 12:26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, my servant will be there also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Galatians 4:7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, if a son, an heir of God through Christ. You'll enjoy His presence. Number three, you will know you're a dynamic part of building up the body of Christ. You're a dynamic part of building up the body of Christ. Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 12 how God has made us all to need one another. Each part supplies. Everybody has something to function in. Don't allow your mind to think, well, I'm not doing what doesn't show, and so that other person's more necessary than I am. That other person's more needed than I am. I just do little things. Wrong. Every person in God's family is important. You say amen? Each person in God's house is important to God. Every member of the family has a job to do. Every member contributes. Every joint, the Bible says, what? Supplies. Every joint supplies. Understand, natural service is not, your fill-in, is not less than spiritual service. It's not less. The only way a person is a lesser Christian is if he buries his talents, or if he rejects God's desire, there's your fill-in, or if he rejects God's desire to develop a servant's heart in him. Or if he responds by pushing God's calling away. If you respond that way, you will feel like you've buried your talents and you will feel like less. But every person is crucial to Jesus. Don't think you're not important. Every person in this room is important. As we conclude this message, and I know we've been talking about what's not always an easy question and an easy issue. As we conclude this morning, the whole issue of servant's heart and service in the church is this. Am I wholly His? Am I His? Am I what He wants me to be? Am I what Jesus wants me to be? Am I walking in what the Bible said in Philippians? Let this mind be in you. He took on Himself the form of a servant. Remember, this is building your faith. You have one more fill-in. Maximizers, or those who really want to run for all their might with the Lord, they press forward and run for the prize. They run for the prize. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. One of the most powerful sections of Scripture in the Bible. I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. How many of you understand God's laid a hold of your life for a reason? He's got something for you. He's got something He wants to do in you, to you, through you. God's got something for you to do to serve in the body of Christ. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, Paul said. I don't have the full purpose yet. But one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not lingering on the past. I'm pressing forward for that which is in the future. Oh God, what do you have for me to do today? How can I serve? How can I contribute? How can I bless? How can I encourage? How can I strengthen the family of God? How can I be a part where I know I'm important and I am what God wants me to be and I'm strengthening each other and I'm blessing others in the body of Christ? How can I know that? I know that when I take on a servant's heart and I yield my life in a spirit of service in the church. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to serve together, to love together, to be Your people together. And we pray this morning, Lord Jesus, You will bless all these people who have come and contributed their time and their efforts and put their shoulders to the wheel. And Lord, we want to keep being what You want us to be. Bless these servants in this house this morning and strengthen them, I pray this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.